Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Sources tell ABC News President Trump aims to tear down the entire east wing of the White House by this weekend to make way for his new ballroom, which is up from an earlier $250 million estimate.
It's about $300 million. It's set to do many, many things, including meetings of foreign leaders, including the honoring of foreign leaders.
Former officials tell ABC News the rush demolition breaks a longstanding policy that normally requires a government commission to oversee and approve any federal projects in Washington, D.C. before demolition begins. The government shutdown entering day 23. SNAP benefits could dry up next month if the government stays closed. At the White House today, President Trump defended expanded U.S. airstrikes of vessels off the coast of Venezuela. But the latest strikes in the Pacific Ocean off Central America, War Secretary Pete Hegseth confirmed the latest Wednesday night, two strikes in 2 days, a total of five people killed. This is ABC News. The Vatican plans to return a few dozen artifacts sought by indigenous communities in Canada as part of settling the Catholic Church's role in helping suppress indigenous culture in the Americas. ABC's Chuck Sievertson reports.
The items were taken from indigenous peoples during colonial periods. Negotiations on returning them ramped up after Pope Francis in 2022 met with indigenous leaders to apologize for the church's role in Canada's disastrous residential schools. They were shown some of the items, including wampum belts, war clubs, and masks, and asked for them to be returned. Catholic religious orders helped enforce the Canadian government's policy of eliminating Indigenous traditions, which a special Canadian commission called cultural genocide.
The NCAA Wednesday approved allowing athletes and athletic department staff members to bet on professional sports. The new rule goes into effect November 1st, but doesn't change the NCAA's ban on athletes from betting on college sports or sharing information about competitions with bettors. Dave Packer, ABC News.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. WLAK is your home for real news and great conversation in Amory.
The Bucks win the season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks beat the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum 133-120. Giannis led the scoring with 37 points, the most ever in his career in a season debut. An injury, though, at the end of the first quarter when guard Kevin Porter Jr. stepped on the foot of teammate Bobby Portis and went down injuring his left ankle. He did not return, head coach Doc Rivers.
No, it didn't look good. I'll just say that. You know, so he's going to do an MRI tomorrow. We just got to hope for the best. But looking at it, it was a pretty bad sprain.
So how did Portis look at the start of the game?
Defensive pressure, couple steals, deflections, and then just his half-court defense, him and our whole group, led to us a ton of runouts. It might have been the most advanced passes we've had.
The Wizards' Chris Middleton getting a standing ovation from the Bucks fans with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, some frosty areas, and a low close to 30, turning mostly sunny for tomorrow and warmer, highs in the upper 40s. And with sunshine Friday, we warm to the low 50s, warming up through the weekend. It's 34 right now.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, Jason Mansmith from Green Lake's Thrasher Theater makes the popcorn pick of the week. Then Chris Rogowski from Chicken or the Egg Photography makes an in-studio visit. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
oh, you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zummers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program here at the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, intersection of State and Fairchild, overcast day. Glad to have you along here on this Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day.
That's right. The camel made it to the middle of another day. And by the way, again, happy birthday to Rob Wheat, our football coach at Vitus Rip. Used to call him Weedy. Ah, oh, geez, where's Weedy?
Happy birthday, Weedy.
It sounds funny when somebody else says it to me.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. So, Rob, one day older than I am, or younger, I should say, one day younger. I'm the old man. But yeah, so happy birthday, Rob. Hope all is well down there in beautiful Monroe, Wisconsin, in Greene County today. All right, it's 7 minutes past the hour. This has been a lot of fun. Brand new segment here. We started here this last week or so. Time once again for today's Wisconsin Fun Fact.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of beauty, with your hillsides and your plains.
That's right. That's Wisconsin's official ballot, Land of Wisconsin, Land of My Dreams. Sherry Saracen, author and singer there on that. Beautiful. Time now for Wisconsin's fun fact. On October 22nd, 1863, Stephen Moulton Babcock was born. Babcock developed a test to determine the butterfat content of milk and worked at the University of Wisconsin for 43 years. Babcock Hall now bears his name and produces some of the finest ice cream anywhere in the world. But if they could get on top of it, figuring out ice cream headache, i.e. brain freeze, now that'd be great. That's how we play Wisconsin Fun Fact. I really should read those before we go on the air.
That would probably be a good move.
We had meetings today. We had meetings, and I attended the meetings, which is my first mistake. But I love these. I love they're simply Wisconsin Fun Facts. So anyway, so Thomas is looking at me. All right.
Well, see, I wanted to say that is indeed a fun fact. But yeah. Then I realized I said that yesterday and the day before. Oh, so instead, right. I just said nothing.
Let's hear something from our great listening audience here. Last hour, we were joined by Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on Civic Media from 6 until 9, and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. And we got into this. We played this cut from President Trump from the Oval Office, where he's saying that we, quote, we can't let it happen again, unquote, referring to the elections of 2020, in which we know that he illegally and by all means of review lost the 2020 election to Joe Biden. He continues to perpetuate the big lie that somehow he won, which we know that is categorically false. And so yesterday, the Oval Office, he's carrying on and hinting that we cannot let that happen again in 2028, and saying that he has his people like Kash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard, quote unquote, on this, which, as we heard Trigvi Olson say, as someone who fought against authoritarianism in Eastern Europe, it's a very dangerous thing to be signaling this, and it's something we have to be on top of. And it's why it's so important that if you are against Trumpism, you have to show up at elections and do so so overwhelmingly that it makes it just literally impossible to rig, like he tried to do in Georgia in 2020, calling up the state Secretary of State and saying, find me X number of votes, which thankfully the guy down in Georgia did not do, even though he's Republican. But now we've seen in this Trump 2.0 in the second term, even stronger arm tactics to get his way. Take a couple of comments on this before we move on. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Jack in Merrimack, listening on WMDX. Jack, thanks for holding. We'll see you.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. A couple of things to say about that. Thing one, if I heard that quote correctly, it was, we can't let 2020 happen again in 2028 or ever again. Right. And that's in pretty good alignment with his old ex-buddies, Steve Bannon, who proposed that we are going to have from this point on a 50-year life, MAGA rule.
Right.
And you better watch, we're going to have to watch our elections. Already he's trying to cheat by doing something that I've never heard of being done before outside of a court order, which is telling people to redistrict their state so that he can get more of his politicians and lackeys into the office.
Right.
And the second thing I want to say about this is, though, he keeps coming up with, and so do all of these MAGA acolytes, they keep coming up with these repeated lie after lie after lie. And so much of it, like the election lie, is stuff that is either you can check on it, and it's obviously false if you even bother to do just a little checking, or in some cases, the lie is just almost meaningless. It's a spurious lie.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why they keep doing this. And the historian who studied the Nazis extensively, Hannah Arendt, put it quite succinctly, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it's something like, the purpose of the lie, of the continuous lying, is not so people believe the lies, but so nobody believes anything anymore, and that people who then don't know what to believe don't know the difference between right and wrong, and they are the ideal subject, not the committed fascist or communist, but it's the people that don't know what to believe anymore that are the ideal people to be influenced by this kind of a regime.
Yeah, Jack, I appreciate you bringing that up. But I think that last point there, I think is, in my opinion, is the most pertinent and most dangerous, right? Because we have gotten to the point now in our day-to-day lives where sometimes right now it's difficult to find out what the truth is or not, what videos we're seeing are real or AI, where is the truth? And to the point where people just say, I can't pay attention anymore because I don't know what's right, what's wrong. That's a great point, Jack. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Charles down in Milwaukee listening on WAUK, Milwaukee, Waukesha. Charles, thanks for listening. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. My frustration with it all is, when will any reporter get a backbone and call him out for the just blatant lie about the election being stolen? They know the election wasn't stolen. There was, I think, 62 court cases, and I think the only one that they won was one that allowed the watchers to move a couple inches closer to the counters. I mean, and this whole thing about 2028, he knows he can't really run. I don't put anything past him and his party anymore, because they are all sycophants and they're willing to go along with whatever he says. But my thing is, when will a reporter get some integrity and say, you know what, if I lose my job, at least I'll know I stood for something?
And I think, Charles, I agree with you. And thank you for that point, by the way, Charles in Milwaukee, WAUK. And this is why I keep trying to bring forward and share with you all these stories in the media. You know, my friends will tell me, you're so susceptible, Todd, to marketing, and you're somebody who is in the business. I say, yes, you're absolutely right, because I consume a lot of media. And yes, so I follow places like Variety and Wired and all these kind of broadcast and media publications. And the reason why I bring you these stories like Barry Weiss of the Free Press being paid $150 million for her very right-leaning online publication, which was seven times the value, according to the experts, and now is being bought by Paramount, which runs and owns CBS News, and now she's the editor-in-chief of CBS News. The reason I tell you those stories is just because it's Todd's little niche thing that I'm intrigued with, which it is. I'll admit that. But it's to Charles's point. The last reporter, and there are probably others after 2020, but the last reporter that I remember or anchor that really did what Charles just said was when Scott Pelley was the anchor at CBS News. And he would point out during the 2020 election, he would say, you know, Donald Trump or President Trump has said this, and that is inaccurate. Here's the act. He would present these stories in like real time. Maybe it was the 2016 election. Pardon me. But in real time on the CBS Evening News, they play a clip from Trump, and Scott Pelley, as the anchor of CBS Evening News, would say that is inaccurate, and then read the facts. But now, because of corporations being afraid of losing their licenses, you see fewer and fewer mainstream reporters or media. To Charles's point, there were really good reporters in that room. Caitlin Collins from CNN was there. Ed O'Keefe from CBS, who all in their stand-ups in front of the White House have pointed out the facts. But they're unwilling to say that to his face in the Oval Office because they're afraid, fearful, or their companies are. Maybe Ed O'Keefe and Caitlin Collins have been told directly, do not ask these things because Trump will pull our credentials and we won't have access. And if we don't have access, we'll have fewer ratings. And fewer ratings means fewer advertising dollars, and then we're all out of business. That's why journalism matters. That's why I'm so blessed and honored to work for a place like Civic Media, who truly is independent and doesn't put those kind of constraints on us. Great calls. Let's open up the thing real quick. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing in wait, no prize money involved. Is your chance to have your voice heard on all 10 News Talk Sports stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. Timely, timely indeed, as Mike Lucas says. Lots of wedding. My sister and brother-in-law celebrated their anniversary. They got married in October last week. Today's category, what's worse, wedding showers or baby showers? Wedding showers or baby showers. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app. Download it for free today. It takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal, the Civic Media app. What's worse, wedding showers or baby showers? We'll discuss it on the other side on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's Real News and Great Conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Civic Media Radio Network, Maestro Aaron Zommers directing the orchestra in the what's the actual name of this? It's not Here Comes the Bride.
No, that's Wagner. This is Wedding March Opus right. Number 61 from A Midsummer Night's Dream, written by Mendelssohn.
I should have known that from my music history classes at UW Richland with Professor Jim Agard. Fantastic professor, conductor, person, director. I was too poor to pay attention sometimes in my music history literature class at UW.
Well, don't remember every single piece of music.
But Jim Agard went a long way to help me appreciate and understand classical music, as did my high school band director, Lauren Jensen. So, little Mendelssohn, very good. All right, today's category. Speaking of music that you hear at weddings. What's worse, wedding showers or baby showers? Wedding showers or baby showers? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it at your Apple or Android device today for free, and takes less than a minute, so download it. What's worse, wedding showers or baby showers? Zommers, we're talking about Krigvy and I. Of a certain age, when we were growing up, was not common for men to go to either one of these things. I think with your generation, it's much more so.
More so, but still not super common.
Really?
The right. only ones that I've been to were for my older sister.
So, wedding or baby?
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, very good. Wedding
not
shower.
At the same time, mind you. Okay. They were separate events.
I wasn't going to ask.
But I went to both.
Okay, I wondered, but I wasn't going to ask. Wedding showers or baby showers? 855-752-4842. Brett in Brown Deer listening on WAUK in Milwaukee, Waukesha. This is great. He says, what do baby showers and wedding showers and Trump rallies have in common? You'll never see me at any of them. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Chris, listening in beautiful Janesville via WMDX. Chris says, I don't agree with this statement.
Well, maybe it is more common than either of us think for men to go to the baby showers and wedding showers. I don't know. A lot of my friends haven't. A lot of my relatives haven't.
Jill, listening in Madison here on WMDX, says wedding showers are worse. Gift buying for baby showers is much easier. All right. That's a good point. My friends, Joe and Rachel, are expecting their first child. And I got out in Colorado, so I wasn't able to make it. But they're pretty chill people. They're very chill people. But
well, they do live in Colorado.
Exactly. But I think, I don't know why, but I feel like gifts are getting harder to buy unless they're on a registry.
Yeah,
because people are very particular now.
Yes, they about really
like,
are.
I mean, some people are very, and look, I mean, that's fine. But it's like, well, you know, I want my baby. And I'm not saying my friends are like this, but I'm just saying in general, some people are like, well, I don't want anything that's manufactured in country X, or I don't want anything that's made out of this material, or, you know, it has to be natural dyes. You know, you don't know what people, you know, I used to just be, you know, go to Crosscup's department store and pick something out of Garanimals and you're good, but not anymore. You understand?
Yeah, it can be pretty complicated, which, luckily for me, I was in high school at the time, so I didn't have to buy anything for my sister.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I'm trying to think of – have I been to a wedding shower? I don't think I've been to a wedding shower. Have I actually been to a baby shower? I don't know. Not that I know of. But I don't know. I think that's why I'm big on registries. Just look at the registry, pick something, and boom. There you go. You're done. Because you know they're going to use it then.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm probably just going to give money.
I feel like those are the two best options, unless you really know the person well. Like if it's someone who you see multiple times a week, you can probably figure out something. But
wedding showers or baby showers, what's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Barb, listening in Waukesha on WAUK. We were just there last week, Barb. Love Waukesha. Says, I didn't like going to my own showers. They are both equally obnoxious.
I believe it.
Now, there's an honest answer. Well done, Barb. I think there are people out there. It's like, I really don't want to do this. And the friends, no, you got to do it.
It's also, I just find it to be kind of a weird tradition because you're showering them with gifts. So, okay, let's say you have a couple who just got together or who's about to get married and they plan on having kids right away. You get them a gift at the wedding shower. You get them a gift at the wedding. You get them a gift at the baby shower. If they buy a house, you get them a housewarming gift. It's like, all right, just take half my paycheck.
Let's see. PJ, watching on YouTube, says, which are worse, wedding or baby shower? Says both, because I have done neither one and never plan to. Well, that brings up a good point. Like, I have never been married. I doubt whether I ever will be. So I feel like, you know, what do? You just say, okay, I'm going to pick a date and I'm going to celebrate my singlehood. Bring me a gift.
That is frowned upon.
Well, but I think that's a good point. See, and people think I'm weird if I did this, but yet I'm expected to give multiple gifts to people that get married.
Yeah, I think you just have to base it on how well you know the person and everything. Like, are they going to be upset if you don't get them something? Right, are they going to be upset if you just get them something small but useful? Like,
well, I think that's it. You know, there's been a couple of years in my life where I've had like, I don't know, like three or four people that I knew got married and stuff. And you're right. Then it gets pricey, right? So
I don't know. Joe, watching on YouTube, says, what's worse, visiting Nashville? It seems to be the entire bachelorette shindig thing has gotten a little out of hand. So I'll say wedding showers are worse. Oh, he's down in Nashville. All right, well, enjoy your trip down there, Joe. Safe travels. Terry Barr says, the games at either one. All right, come on back. We'll have more after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned for Pam Yonke, the Farm Report.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Sources tell ABC News President Trump aims to tear down the entire east wing of the White House by this weekend to make way for his new ballroom, which is up from an earlier $250 million estimate.
It's about $300 million. It's set to do many, many things, including meetings of foreign leaders, including the honoring of foreign leaders.
Former officials tell ABC News the rush demolition breaks a longstanding policy that normally requires a government commission to oversee and approve any federal projects in Washington, D.C. before demolition begins. The government shutdown entering day 23. SNAP benefits could dry up next month if the government stays closed. At the White House today, President Trump defended expanded U.S. airstrikes of vessels off the coast of Venezuela. But the latest strikes in the Pacific Ocean off Central America, War Secretary Pete Hegseth confirmed the latest Wednesday night, two strikes in 2 days, a total of five people killed. This is ABC News.
The Bucks win the season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks beat the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, 133-120. Giannis led the scoring with 37 points, the most ever in his career in a season debut. An injury, though, at the end of the first quarter when guard Kevin Porter Jr. stepped on the foot of teammate Bobby Portis and went down injuring his left ankle. He did not return, head coach Doc Rivers.
No, it didn't look good. I'll just say that. You know, so he's going to do an MRI tomorrow. We just got to hope for the best. But looking at it, it was a pretty bad sprain.
So how did Portis look at the start of the game?
Defensive pressure, couple steals, deflections, and then just his half-court defense, him and our whole group, led to us a ton of runouts. It might have been the most advanced passes we've had.
The Wizards' Chris Middleton getting a standing ovation from the Bucks fans with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Filthy Rich People Who Can't Catch a Break news, Jennifer Lopez cannot seem to live without drama if she's been out of the spotlight for more than a month. The actress-singer appeared on the Howard Stern Show recently and said in all of her four marriages, she was given rings and material possessions and houses, but that none of her four husbands truly loved her because they weren't capable. That did not sit well with her first husband, Ohani Noah, who accused her of not only rewriting history, but of cheating on him multiple times during their just 11-month marriage. A former model and personal trainer, Noah says despite her cheating, she begged him to stay to avoid bad publicity in her career, but she still kept lying and cheating. That doesn't sound like our Jen Jen. Noah claims he moved out of the state for her, supported her financially and emotionally until he was no longer needed. I mean, in J-Lo's defense, she did become famous very quickly. How was she supposed to know she'd only need him for 11 months? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, some frosty areas, and a low close to 30. Turning mostly sunny for tomorrow and warmer. Highs in the upper 40s. And with sunshine Friday, we warm to the low 50s. Warming up through the weekend. It's 32 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid this studio. We'll be dealing with... Oh, my God.
Sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. The midterm elections might be a year away, but there is a sleeper issue out there that may be the key to Democrats winning. We'll discuss it next time. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're glad to have you along on a Wednesday, October 22nd, Wheaties birthday, 2025. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Zomers on the board. Aaron Zomers, that is. Wrapping up, I want to, because this came in just under the wire, and I want to get this in today's What's Worse category. What's Worse, wedding showers or baby showers? And Zomers, I forgot to, I guess, officially ask you, what's worse?
I think I'm going to say baby showers, just because, like you said, with all the new organic stuff, it's harder to know, harder to come up with something you can give them that's not just buying off a registry.
Yeah, I guess I'd agree. Yeah, baby showers are probably worse. Our own Terry Barr, watching on YouTube, sees these games. She was saying the games either one are terrible. She says games like, how fast can you diaper a doll or pin the bow tie on the groom? See, I've never had to do anything like that.
See, pin the bow tie on the groom just ends up being, all right, you have one person who's not going to aim for the neck. They're going to aim much lower and probably nail it. And everybody else with their blindfolds is going to miss.
Now, that's a game I might participate in.
Perhaps. I think you probably succeed. Practice
probably
makes perfect.
Probably. But here's the winner for the day, in my opinion, on the text line. What's worse, wedding showers or baby showers? And I said earlier that, you know, look, for those of us who never got married, probably won't. I should have like a single shower or something like that. I don't know. Brett Brown Deer, listening on WAUK. Brett says, quote, Todd, you don't get a gift for not getting married because you already won by staying single. Now, I don't know about that. Sometimes it's not, you know, you get a little lonely or whatever. But there is something to be said, I guess, for your freedom as well.
There is. And I mean, talking money-wise, if you're talking about a baby shower, having kids, very expensive.
Very expensive. Very expensive. On the other hand, when I get old, there's going to be nobody around to take care of me. That's why I'm trying to stay healthy, understand? That's why I got to get rid of the salivary, what is it?
Salivary gland.
That's it. Salivary gland stone. I can't be walking around with a stone in my neck for the next 20 years. That's not going to help. All right. That was a great segment. I like that a lot. We'll play more tomorrow on What's Worse. Okay. I want to get into this a little bit, which we haven't. And by the way, Friday, we're going to talk more about it. We're going to have Brady Ewing. Our friend Brady Ewing, who is a former Badger, two-time Big Ten champion of Wisconsin Badger football, and then he also played 3 years in the NFL. We've had Joe Thomas on this show. He was kind enough to invite us out to his farm, Six Springs Farm. By the way, he's a beef guy, and we went into yesterday about all the stuff Donald Trump wants to pay Argentinian beef farmers, bail them out, help them, and screw over the Wisconsin beef farmers. But that's, as they say, that's another bottle of wine or plate of beef. But we've had Brady Ewing, we have Joe Thomas on. And looking at what's happening at Wisconsin football right now, it ain't good. By any stretch of the imagination, Brady will be here on Friday at 3:30. We'll get his take on it, at least his personal take. His thoughts on not a great season so far for Wisconsin football. They have only won two games, and they were the two non-conference games against Miami of Ohio and Middle Tennessee State. They lost against Alabama. They lost at home against Maryland. They lost at Michigan. They lost at home against Iowa 37-0. And now this past week, they lost to number one Ohio State at home 34-0. They go to Oregon. Oregon. I get the town and the state mixed up. They go to Oregon out in Washington State this year, or this week.
That is Oregon.
Oregon.
The town here is Oregon.
I'm reading three things at once. I'm sorry. Yes, they go to Oregon this week and play the Ducks, the Dirty Ducks, which I'm not a fan of these people anyway, the Ducks, because they've stolen games from us, but I'm not going to get into that. So they play Oregon 6 p.m. local time here in Wisconsin. Oregon is ranked number 6 in the country. They've got new tie-dye flashy uniforms. They always got flashy uniforms because their big benefactor is Phil Knight of Nike. So they get whatever they want from Nike. Most likely it'll be 6 straight games for Luke Fickell and the Badgers losses. Then they come home to play Washington, the other UW. Which I had that at the beginning of the season. I thought that would be a win. I no longer think so.
Yeah, I'm not so optimistic.
Then they go to number 2 Indiana. That ain't going to be pretty for the Badgers. Then they come home and play the traveling Berts, Brett Bielema, and Illinois that's ranked 23. That's going to be a struggle. And then they finish up the season at Minnesota, the battle for the Axe against the Flexers, P.J. Fleck. P.J. Fleck, for whatever reason, knows how to get his team psyched up for that game. If it was at Wisconsin, maybe. I think Wisconsin struggles to have another win all season long. So you finish with 2 wins for the year after finishing with 4 or 5 last year. They missed the bowl game last year. And the fans are calling, the donors are calling for Luke Fickell, the coach of the Badgers, to be fired. Let me make it clear. I feel really badly for the players because I don't think there's anybody on the Wisconsin Badger football team from the players, the student athletes, who are not trying. What's confusing to me is this abysmal slip into worse than mediocrity by a team that by a program that Barry Alvarez built up, was maintained to a large degree by Brett Bielema before he left to Arkansas. Had a couple of years of Gary Anderson, which was kind of a weird period. But at least, hey, they had a winning record, went to bowl games. Then he had Paul Christ come in, ended up going to the Rose Bowl in 2019, or after the 2019 season into 2020. Got fired by new athletic director Chris McIntosh. And then brought in Luke Fickell from Cincinnati after bypassing longtime defensive assistant and Wisconsin alum, NFL alum, veteran Jimmy Leonard. What I think is surprising about this period in Badger football, surprising, disconcerting, is you have a lot of former players now coming out and speaking openly about this. Want to play this cut? This is from Brad Nortman, former University of Wisconsin punter, who now has a program on ESPN Wisconsin. This is Badger alum Brad Nortman on the status of Wisconsin football.
Everything I'm hearing from inside the building is that he has zero, not only has he hasn't done it, there's no engagement with the alumni, the former players, or Wisconsin high school coaches. There's no interest in doing it. Every high school football coach I talk to, there is no relationship with Coach Fickle or any of the coaching staff. There is zero intention to try to keep Wisconsin kids in the program. There's no interest in it. Not only that, when you talk about alumni and raising money and boosters, everything I'm hearing is that Fickle has no interest in bridging that gap, raising money, and leaning into Wisconsin culture.
Well, he'll get fired, and he shouldn't be.
And finally, I've heard there's two, you know, big red events. So it's happening right here in Milwaukee. Had to get canceled because he wouldn't show up. So there is a major disconnect between what a Wisconsin head coach should be doing of reinforcing the culture and what is currently being done. And the symptom is what is on the field. You know, the illness itself is all of these issues. And it all plays out with trash product on the field.
That is Brad Nortman on ESPN Wisconsin. When they post it, they put that music behind it there. But I think that's a really telling from someone who has direct connections to the University of Wisconsin Badger football program. If what he's reporting is true, and I have no reason to believe it's not, I mean, how do you build on that? If your head coach doesn't even want to talk, I mean, as someone whose dad was a Wisconsin wrestling coach for 38, whatever years it was, and this is part of the reason that Barry Alvarez was so successful when he came into Wisconsin from Notre Dame. He said, look, we're going to draw a perimeter around the state of Wisconsin, and we're going to focus on these kids here and keep them home. That's our number one priority. And the way that you do that is making relationships with these high school coaches. And I get it that it's slightly different now with NIL, but that's where it begins, with relationships. And the fact you have a former player like Brad Nortman, little disconcerting. Want to play this also from the Barry Alvarez program on former head coach, former athletic director, Barry Alvarez on ESPN Wisconsin. He followed up after what Nortman said, different program, but I think it was within 24 to 40 hours. Here's the discussion with Barry.
We're trying to create interest. And then once we had interest, then you whatever you're looking for, you had an avenue to get to a lot of people about what you wanted and tell your story and press some flesh with a lot of fans. So they know you personally. They know the head coach. They know the assistant coaches. Our guy, you just can't sit back and say, we need this, we need that, we need that. Get out in the state and let the people meet you and sell the program. Know who you are, and this state will embrace. They will embrace you. They did. They
Luke did Fickle us. Is a good.
Well, you
man.
Did it in 1990, Coach.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Luke Fickle. All they claim they want to know him, and you know, and you meet Luke, and you automatically think, hey, this is a football guy. He's a wrestler. He's a football player. No question. He's in the trenches. He loves.
He's dedicated.
He loves
committed.
The kids. He loves football. He loves, and so all he's got to do is. You know, get out there, and the support will.
I think
come.
You have to now more than ever. Yeah. There is no recourse. So I think we've gone away from that within the department. We used to do it all the time, and I think we got away from it a little bit. And I think another road trip around the state. That's what we used to call. We'd load everybody up in a van. I'd take all the coaches, Bo, myself. We take about four head coaches and some administrators, and we'd go out and we'd press palms. We'd go out and meet with people. We'd talk about our program, and we would tell them what our problems are. But they knew us, and they knew the people, and they knew them firsthand, and they can tell their friends, and that goodwill goes a long way.
Barry Alvarez, former head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers and athletic director. And look, the guys that he was on, by the way, that's from ESPN Wisconsin, the Barry Alvarez show. The guys he was with trying to kind of help Fickle out there a little bit. Whether Barry intentionally sent the signal or not, I think he's calling Fickle out in McIntosh. I was at the big red event down in Monroe in Greene County. Brett Bielema showed up. Barry Alvarez, women's basketball coach. They're not doing that anymore. Come on back. After this, it's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2033. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, a check of weather, and then our great sports reporter. Speaking of sports, Mike Clemens will be in with a look at what's going on, maybe talk a little bit. I mean, he's been covering what's going on with Wisconsin Badger football as well. Well, basketball as well. But he had a cut on, I know, from Luke Fickell, head coach of the Badger football program, who was asked, has he been told if he's going to be back as head coach next year? And Clemens had the cut where Fickell said, well, I haven't been told. I don't ask. I don't talk about it. My wife kind of looks at me funny. And sure, you think about it, but you can't worry about it. And look, I think that's a right cut. Zahmer says this was the cut that Mike Clemens had at that presser from Luke Fickell.
No, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball. I've never asked the question. It's not something that I can dwell upon. It's not something that I can't tell you that it's not something that doesn't you don't think about. I'm not saying it's something when you go home, your wife doesn't look at you, but it doesn't do us any good.
Great work on that, Zomers, for pulling that up. And many thanks to Mike Clemens for sending that cut along. I think that's a fair comment by Fickell. I'm not out to get anyone. I just want the program
to get back on track. And I've said this before on this show, and it's so true because I know it because having worked at the Capitol and seen all these things work, or at least a little bit of glimmer or glance behind the curtain, if you will. And you know who understood this better than anybody else? Former Madison Chancellor Donna Shalala, who when she came in as Chancellor at UW-Madison, she said straight out, I talked to my buddy Jeff last night, who, proud Badger graduate, who he remembers going to the, I always forget, is a convocation, the when you go into at the beginning of the year? It's where the chancellor meets with the new incoming students.
I think that's convocation.
And Donna Shalala said up front to the new students, the freshmen, look, we're going to get this right. We can't have a great university without a great football program at the Division I level. And by golly, she went out and lured Pat Richter, who was a former Badger, two-sport athlete, maybe three, but at least two. He was the CEO of Oscar Mayer here in Madison. He didn't need to leave that. She convinced him that it was his duty, basically, as an alum, to come save this program with her. Richter came over from Oscar Mayer as athletic director, hired Barry Alvarez away from national champion Notre Dame and Lou Holtz, and the rest is history. And there's a lot of people, oh, you know, sports doesn't matter. There's too much attention paid on sports. You know what? Maybe there is, to a certain degree, too much attention on sports. But you have to understand that at the Division I level, and Donna Shalala understood this, that the revenue, not just the straight revenue from direct revenue from ticket sales, it's also the media money from television, all the media rights, all the branding, the sales of apparel. All of that money is a huge part. That it doesn't all go to the football program or athletics. Part of that money is dispersed to the university as a whole. And every time that they play a high-profile game or go to a bowl game, the interest by people attending UW-Madison and actually coming here goes up. And Shalala understood that. And part of the great success academically, research-wise, notoriety-wise, or media-wise of UW-Madison is directly the result of Donna Shalala, Pat Richter, and Barry Alvarez. And in today's world, whether I like it, you like it, anybody likes it, we could disagree with it, but the reality is if you're a Division I program and your football team sucks, it's going to negatively impact your university in all kinds of ways. And that's why it's critically important to find a way to right this ship. Larry, listening in Deerfield on WMDX, says, I have no inside knowledge, but based on what I've seen, Chris McIntosh has not lived up to the legacy of Barry Alvarez and the guy that started the turnaround, Pat Richter. And it was, as you are acknowledging, Donna Shalala who hired Richter. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate listenership in Deerfield on WMDX. I agree. So I feel bad. I feel terrible for the guys. They're giving it everything they got. There was a kid that played, I can't remember his name, played with a broken arm this last week. They're doing everything they can. But to that clip we played earlier from Barry Alvarez, I don't think that the current folks, that whether it's McIntosh or whether it's Fickell, I just think they're focusing too much on this whole NIL game or whatever, and they're not going out. And part of this is politicking. Again, Barry Alvarez came into my old boss's office when he was Senate Majority Leader, politicked for money that they needed for facilities on campus in the sports department. And guess what? He got them. So we'll talk more about this from the sports side of Brady Ewing on Friday at 3:30, so be listening for that. Great show today. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow
host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9, and Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor at Lincoln Project. Our own Aaron Zommers doing yeoman's work on the board. As always, be here tomorrow for another edition. We'll welcome you back then. Stay tuned now for Maggie Dawn and the Maggie Dawn Show, followed by Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Todd saying, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Keep banging on your drum. Keep banging on, and your day will come. Keep banging on your drum, and they will hear you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Another vessel struck by the U.S. military in the Eastern Pacific. War Secretary Pete Hegseth says that the boat was transporting narcotics. It says three men were killed in the strike. It's the second boat to be hit in that region in 2 days.
The administration has been cracking down on suspected drug smugglers in the Caribbean, bombing seven vessels there since September 2nd. And in a show of force, the U.S. flying three B-52 bombers off the coast of Venezuela late last week. President Trump said he also has authorized covert CIA missions inside Venezuela.
ABC's Matt Gutman. The North Carolina House approved a new congressional voting map Wednesday that's expected to give Republicans an extra seat in Congress. Texas was the first state to redistrict in favor of Republicans. Sources